Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 5th of September. Today, we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29, where the Apostle Paul says, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none." Continue the sentence. "Those who weep as though they did not weep, those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, those who buy as though they did not possess, and those who use this world as not misusing it." I'll stop there. A big long sentence. I want to deal with the implications of the context of that sentence, or that's the wrong way to say that. I want to deal with that sentence within its context, probably in a couple of days. Today, I want to focus on this time is short. Tomorrow, I have a little Q&A I want to air on a sort of a shorter long form Friday. I'll tell you about that in a little bit. Paul says the time is short. This comes on the heels of the present crisis of verse 26. And it is just in front of the second sentence of verse 31, "For the form of this world is passing away." What is Paul talking about? What does he mean? The time is short. The form of this world is passing away. It's possible, if there are no other supporting scriptures, that the form of this world is passing away is Paul making a general statement about the world, that things are temporary, that what you see is not eternal, it's not permanent. Therefore, what you see is passing away. Live in such a manner. But he seems to mean more than that, because he doubles down. He says, the time is short, the form is passing away. If he had only said the form is passing away, then we might be able to argue that it's a general statement about the temporal existence of the world and flesh and matter. But because he says the time is short, Paul locks himself in. Now, the time is short till what? The time is short compared to what time? If this isn't prophetic, it's confusing. If it is prophetic, we have some problems. The first problem is, if he means the end of all things, then he's wrong. We're here 2,000 years later. It didn't end. If he's being metaphoric, the time is short, as in, we got a few thousand years, but relative to the rest of the history of the world, that's short, then that's true, but it wouldn't make a lot of sense considering it's the same kind of phrase you would use if it was literally the time is short. And so Paul says the time is short, the form of the world's passing away. 1 Corinthians 10:11, "All things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come." So if you take these things together, it seems as if Paul is saying, we're in the middle of a present crisis that is a sign that we don't have much time left, because the form of the world as we know it is passing away, and we are the generation upon whom the ends of the ages have come. If you stayed first and foremost with Jesus, Jesus says in Matthew 24, this generation, Matthew 24, 34, "This generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place." If you want to know what things those are, then you read the 24th chapter of Matthew. Matthew 24, 35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." What's heaven and earth? Heaven on earth to Israel was the temple in Jerusalem. Heaven and earth passing away could be a reference to Israel's system. It was their heaven, it was their earth. If the New Testament disciple, apostles, and writers are working off of the information that they are in a generation that will see these things and their heaven and their earth will pass away, it starts to make sense that Paul would say, we don't have much time, the form of the world as we know it's passing away, and we are the ones upon whom the ends of the world have come. Now, what do the other New Testament writers have to say about this? Hebrews chapter 1. verses 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. The author of Hebrews believes that they are living in a last day of something. 1 Peter. This is Peter who sits there in Matthew 24 and asks Jesus what the end of the age will be. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. So Peter both believes and teaches that the end of all things is at hand. And we're going to deal with at hand in a moment, but it's very, very close. Why does he believe this? Because he heard what Jesus said in Matthew 24, and he's looking around at the signs of the times going on around him. 1 John chapter 2. This is our fourth different writer, by the way, because I don't think Paul wrote Hebrews personally. So you have Paul, then you have the writer of Hebrews, then you have Peter, now you have John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children. I'm sorry, verse 17. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know it is the last hour. That's unequivocal. I mean, John doesn't act as if it's metaphoric. He says, you know you need to be watching for Antichrist to know it's the last hour. I said, they're here. It is the last hour. John also has the revelation. He writes the book of Revelation. And listen to this in Revelation 22:10. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Whatever the events were in the book of Revelation, the time was at hand for those events to come to pass. How close is at hand? It's the same Greek phrase used in Mark 14 when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus says in Mark 14:42, my betrayer is at hand. And then Judas walks around the proverbial corner and kisses Jesus on the cheek. When Jesus says my betrayer is at hand, no one in the garden thought he meant, well, in the next couple thousand years, my betrayer is going to show up. No, it was a literal statement. My betrayer is at hand. Same Greek phrase in Revelation 22:10. The time of this book is at hand. To show you how big this Revelation 22 moment is, in which the book of Revelation is, do not seal the words of the prophecy because it's about to happen. Compare that to the book of Daniel. Daniel is the great, some have called it the revelation of the Old Testament. It's the same sort of powerful prophetic book. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Verse 9. Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Notice that the book of Daniel was sealed until the time of the end. Jesus comes quoting Daniel. That's 500 years between Daniel and Jesus. 500 years God thought was a long time. You should seal up Daniel. It's not going to happen for a while. 500 years. Seal it. Revelation comes along. God says, time is at hand. Don't seal it. Why is it that we teach for 2,000 years it's finally or about to be unveiled, the events that happened in that book? I think we've been reading it wrong. I don't think that the end of the world, the end of days, is an event in our future that marks the end of the world as we know it. I think it was an event that marked the end of the world as they knew it. And I think it was a direct fulfilling of what Hebrews talked about that which is passing away. I'll read that again and we'll close for today. Hebrews 8:13. In that he says a new covenant he made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Long form Friday tomorrow. Q&A time. See you then. God bless.